Welcome.
No.
Did you actually listen to the last episode?
Not yet.
No. So.
Do you want me to play the beginning?
Just play the intro.
Yeah.
It's
all
a
right.
good bit.
All right.
It's funny.
All right, back to it, boys.
Welcome to the Critical Path.
No, that's my job. You don't get to say it.
With Mary, Jason, Dakota, and sometimes Darth Vader.
You don't sound like Darth Vader.
Luke, this is your podcast.
I'm sure that's the first time that's ever been said.
Welcome to the Critical Path with Mary.
Wait! Get your jetpack on, Dakota.
Was that really worth interrupting me for?
Continue.
Welcome to the Critical Path with Mary, Jason, and Dakota, a podcast about business development, company culture, and loving the place you work just a little bit more. This is episode 19, and we're going to be talking about, you know what?
I'm so freaking tired.
God, it's just been like a really long week.
It's been so much.
We are going to talk about managing burnout. Not the kind that you do when you're like super sweet Thunderbird.
Or like bleach burnouts?
Yeah, not like that.
Yeah. So, do you know what a bleach burnout is, Dakota?
Story time with Jason.
Can't say that I do.
No, this was actually a story from the in-laws. That apparently the normal thing to do when you were a teen in the 60s was to go drive your muscle car to the football game and go into the parking lot, and they were all rear-wheel drive.
It was the pep rally.
Yeah. And so you have one person in the car, and then you have one person with a gallon of bleach standing by the tires, and then you lock the car up, and then you push the gas pedal as hard as you can to do a burnout in the parking lot, and you pour bleach over the tire.
Does it do something? Does it make it a bleach burnout?
What do you think happens?
You throw bleach everywhere.
Nope. It turns into a noxious gas that covers everything and makes everyone at the pep rally have to leave.
That's so dumb.
Welcome to bleach burnout.
Those guys were nerds for hanging out at the pep rally.
Nerds.
Look, I don't
know. For whose benefit?
I guess my dad's. I mean.
Oh, I have a story about my dad, but we'll get there later.
This is the cow story.
Let's go. No, that was my step-grandfather was the cow story. Different story.
Fair.
Carry on. I'm so tired.
Oh, God, it's just been such a week.
It's been a lot.
So we're talking about the fact, one of the things that we just said this morning at a meeting is that the main business that we do is the business of helping people to change. And the truth is change, especially prolonged change, change that's taking place over the course of a year or more, it's hard and it takes a toll and you get burnout.
So humans are biologically programmed to not change unless there is no other choice. We like to stay in the same condition. We'll do whatever we can to prevent that change. Mm-hmm. And so when we come in to help organizations change and grow, it could be that they haven't made any significant change for the last 50 years. And it shows inside of the walls of the business.
Absolutely.
So change is hard.
So one of the things that we do in order to help is we roll out change in sprints. And it's a terminology that we borrow from software development.
I think we stole it. They don't have it anymore.
No, they definitely still have it. We didn't steal it.
Okay.
It's cool. It's okay. We borrowed it. We'll give it back one day.
Sprint methodology. So we use the word sprint because it implies something that's short and fast. This is not a marathon. This is a short burst of energy.
It's high energy.
High energy that we use to apply to a specific change.
And so we decide exactly which changes we think we can get done, and usually it's a 3-month period. Identify those, pick out the right team for it, roll those things out, and we can get to the end of that 3 months and have a sense of accomplishment that we've accomplished those things, and then move on to the next sprint, often with a different team of people within the organization, and take on an entire new set of goals.
So one of the things that we found when we started is that we would go into a business and identify like 200 areas that needed to be changed or improved.
This is before I came on.
It was well before. It was all me. And it would be a list of 200 things that we need to do, and that list is overwhelming, exhausting, intimidating, and many times the owner felt like it was just not possible. Mm-hmm. But that list, it might take years to get through that list, mm-hmm. and then we have to reassess. Whereas taking the sprint approach, it definitely lightens the load, and we're identifying smaller micro targets that we want to achieve in a shorter window of time.
Mm-hmm. And that can help. But the truth is that this is still an exhausting process. It's a lot of work that you're taking on when you're trying to change. We often talk about the companies that we're helping to change, and we talk about moving things at the companies. We'll say, things are starting to move there. We're moving things. And the truth is, it's a lot like pushing a boulder up a hill. And that's just from our perspective, which the people within the organization, the leadership team at the organization are doing all the real lifting. They're doing all the real work, and they're living in it every day, all the time. And it's a lot. So this episode, we want to talk about how, as the leader, you can manage that burnout within yourself, and then how, as a leader, you can help your team manage that sense of burnout, how you can keep moving even though you're exhausted. Mm-hmm. So we're going to talk first about you, because if you've ever been in an airplane with a child, they will tell you that if that oxygen mask comes down, you put it on your child, on your own face, before you put it on your child. We all want to help our children first. But the truth is, if you pass out from lack of oxygen, there's now no one to see to your child and to keep the mask on their face and to protect them. So you have to put your mask on first, and then you can tend to your child and take care of your child.
So it's important that we get some oxygen to the leaders of the company right away. Typically when we come in, there is some incident or some issue that they need help with that is kind of the cause of why we're there in the first place. Mm-hmm. So while there is a whole lot of work to do, it's important that we acknowledge that the people at the top are oftentimes struggling, and we need to give that help to them right away.
And they're often feeling burned out before we even come into the picture, because mm-hmm. they were already struggling with all the stuff that needed to change. Mm-hmm. So to get through that, there are a few tips. And the first one is simple, but one that I think almost every owner that we've ever known skips. And it's, you need to see to your health. You need to not skip meals. You need to eat during the day. You need to sleep. You need to get whatever exercise and sunshine that you need to get. They seem like little silly things, but things like that can make a huge difference in being able to maintain an exhausting pace for a long time.
Well, and it's crazy how those leaders, when they're skipping those meals and they're staying up late and they're working on weekends and they're not seeing their loved ones and they're not going golfing, whatever mm-hmm. recharges them, they look at that as a positive sacrifice. Mm-hmm. But the reality is that the work they're putting in afterwards is probably worse. Mm-hmm. They're probably just doing a worse job than if they had kept their 9 o'clock tea time or went to that thing their wife or husband or whatever wanted to go to.
I'll call that person the spouse.
Do you want me to go back?
No. No, don't go back. Never go back,
no
Dakota.
No going back.
Yeah.
Didn't we say no go backsies?
No go backsies.
That was a different joke.
That was a different one.
Ago.
Yeah. So I think the important part to differentiate there is oftentimes in leadership roles, we see the perseverance of skipping meals and working harder and longer hours, 24/7, working at 3 a.m., working on Saturdays and Sundays, skipping kids' baseball games as a sign of dedication or as a sign of commitment. But that, I think it's actually the opposite. Mm-hmm. So the opposite is that we're missing self-discipline. We're lacking mm-hmm. self-discipline. We need to stick to that self-discipline, to make sure that we take breaks to eat, mm-hmm. to make sure that we chat with our people who work with us, to make sure that we get to the baseball game, because those things actually recharge us, and we need to find those things and stick to them to make sure that we're taking care of ourselves first and foremost.
Yep, absolutely. And if this is hard for you, then another thing you can do is find another person within the organization, someone who's also high up on that leadership team, whether this is an assistant, whether this is another leader who's going through it, and hold each other accountable. Mm-hmm. Have lunch together. make sure that both of you remind one another to do the things that you need to do to take care of yourselves.
So now we've given some oxygen and mm-hmm. identified that we need to, believe it or not, eat, sleep, mm-hmm. and maybe get outside and walk a little bit.
So the next part is one of the values of leadership that we identify in our values of leadership session is self-awareness. Being self-aware during a change is super important. So I don't know if I talked about this on the podcast or not. So if I did, then you get to hear it again. Our son is 13, and we had a conversation with him. So he said to us, being 13, it feels like you guys expect me to be an adult, but you still treat me like a child. And I said, we can address that and we can talk about that and we will. But the first part you need to understand is this is what it feels like to be 13. This is what being 13 feels like, and nothing I do or say is gonna stop it from feeling like this. And I think where that's relevant is when we're going through change, there are ways that that feels. And this is just the way that it feels to go through change. Nothing is gonna make that different or better. And recognizing that, it's like, or I suppose it's like if you're doing a new workout and you are tired and your legs ache and your arms ache, if you feel like, when is this gonna stop? This is terrible, I really hate this, then you're gonna feel miserable and helpless. If you feel like,
I can't do this forever.
Yeah, if you feel like, this is what the first week of a new workout feels like, and I'm gonna have to just put, I like Jillian Michaels, she's a workout instructor.
She's so tough.
She's so cool. And she says, get comfortable with being uncomfortable. And that's kind of what this step is about. It's just recognizing that this is change and it's not easy. And you need to get comfortable with being uncomfortable. You need to get comfortable with things being tough and mm-hmm. challenging and being tired. But when you can recognize that that's what it is, instead of feeling helpless or victimized by it, it can help you be able to power through it.
Mm-hmm.
The next piece is to lean on your team. So they're going through this too, and spending time with them and taking, so we're gonna go into places where you are actually helping them, but don't forget that you can get something out of that interaction as well. If you need to talk to someone about why this is tough or why this is challenging, talk to your team because they're probably feeling it too.
Mm-hmm.
Don't think that you need to isolate yourself from them, that it's challenging for you. Let them see that it's hard for you and let them be a source of comfort for mm-hmm. you.
Well, and I think being empathetic to the idea that they're experiencing it, and when we go through that together, then the team actually can get stronger because we have something to bond over.
Absolutely. And finally, you were talking about it earlier, we can find ways to connect with other company leaders who are going through a similar process.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that networking is really important. So if
and
you're
peer groups.
Absolutely. So whether that's an organization that you're part of, whether if you're working with someone like Arcade who's helping you, you could get referrals to other people who are going through similar things.
Yeah.
When our clients talk to each other about what it's like to go through this process, it is really helpful for everyone involved.
It's super positive.
Absolutely.
Right. And they then can kind of talk about the details of it, and they'll say, oh, this part was really hard, or how did this go for you, or how did your folks react when this piece was rolled out?
And especially if they're at different points in the process, whoever's mm-hmm. a little further ahead can kind of show some light at the end of the tunnel.
They can talk to folks who are further ahead on the sprint plan so that they can kind of get the preview of mm-hmm. what it's like going through. And whenever you can talk, it's sort of like the freshman talking to the junior in high school
mm-hmm.
about what it's like to go through certain points, your junior prom, right? Yep. They can give you the preview of what that looks like so you're more prepared for it.
Yep, absolutely. And I think seeing them feel that relief of things starting to get better
mm-hmm.
helps you understand that that is also coming for you.
Yeah, and it feels good for the people who are further ahead that they can give that guidance to the people coming up behind them.
Absolutely, so it's good for everyone.
I'm sure it also gives a good point of view, because even if that person in the lead
mm-hmm.
didn't realize how much progress they made,
mm-hmm.
they can look at that other company
mm-hmm.
that they have familiarity with if they do.
Mm-hmm.
And they can say, oh, I remember when I was going through that, that was really hard. Wow, I've come a long way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is a lot of really great progress. I'm glad I stuck with it.
Yeah.
Yep, absolutely.
Okay.
So those are some tips for how you can help yourself and put on your own oxygen mask.
How to help the leaders.
Mm-hmm. So the next part is, as a leader, how do you help your team with the burnout that happens as a result of all this change? Mm-hmm.
And so we typically address this when we're going through setting up our sprint plans, our sprint schedules, mm-hmm. in trying to focus on different areas of development so that we can kind of rotate through, and this is sort of like a heat or a relay race, mm-hmm. where we tag certain people in for one leg of the sprint, and then mm-hmm. we can tag out for the next leg, and then that way, when we come back around to it, those folks can rejoin and be rested and ready to go.
Absolutely. So another part of sprinting is that sense of getting things done and starting a new pass, I think. Even when we have to work with some of the same people from sprint to sprint, that feeling of, okay, we wrapped everything up, it's all done, we can check everything off our list, now let's get ready to start the next batch of tasks.
Mm-hmm. So one helpful bit that can help release some of the steam or some of the tension for the team is to identify something that everybody enjoys. So in the sprint plan and methodology, you want to find intervals where you can find things to celebrate and find team activities that will bring everybody together. We can kind of reflect on how far we've come and the work that we've done, and then that can be a recharging element to start pushing forward again.
Yeah, well, and not just so celebrating our accomplishments is mm-hmm. great, but I think, too, it can help if we notice that the team is just getting demoralized and slowing down. If we have something like, we worked with a company that had Wednesday night wine, mm-hmm. right? And it was just every Wednesday night, everyone would finish working and all meet up, and they had, like, some kind of taps going on.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that?
Was that in California?
Yes, it was. And
they had kombucha, and they had beer and wine on tap.
Mm-hmm. And a really nice employee kind of lounge room. Mm-hmm. And they would all just meet up every Wednesday night and hang out for a little bit and have a glass of wine and unwind and talk a little about the week. And it was just a good kind of point for the team to connect. Mm-hmm. So having something like that, whether it's at your space or whether you're at a restaurant across the street, something that just gives everybody a little time to be together in the same space and not be working through this change is a good way to let everyone lean on each other in the same way that you should be leaning on them.
Or at arcade VR team building session?
Yeah, but I think, you know, that's great, but a one-time team building is less what this calls for.
Oh, we could do that every Wednesday.
I suppose that's
true. Just have it set up for
Hey, come on.
We could do this every weekend.
Come on, boys and girls. Come on out.
I think the next part is finding compassion, because people are going to drop things and have the equivalent of temper tantrums and just lose their composure. And
they're more likely to do that when they're really stressed and haven't rested in a long time.
Absolutely. So when those things happen in these high stress periods of lots of change, try to find compassion. It doesn't mean to let them cross lines that they shouldn't be crossing, but at the same time, understand that they are in a unique state right now, mm-hmm. and try to have some empathy
because
for
they're
that situation.
Going through change. Mm-hmm.
So yeah. This is something that I often have this conversation with our teenagers, because being a teenager is kind of like literally being insane. You're like amped up on all these hormones that are running through your body and all these new things that are happening and changes that are happening, and when one of them will have like a huge blow up, then I will often react first and foremost by sitting down with them and saying, you are not supposed to be a person who never loses it. Sometimes you're going to lose it because being a teenager is insane.
And you're an adult in training, mm-hmm. but you're amped up on hormones.
And so having that recognition, that often brings them back into reality really quickly, where they say, yeah, you're right, I guess I'm just really feeling a lot of stress, I guess this is just a lot for me right now. And then instead of being in this volatile place, they calm down and they're ready to talk and they're ready to recognize that, yeah, I probably acted out. But having that recognition that what you're going through is a lot, mm-hmm. and sometimes it's going to come to the surface, and that's okay. Creating downtime during the day at work. Finding places where we're doing work that is quieter, that is relaxed, and especially if we're doing it together. So the example for this that's not really a great example is when we've had a long week around here, we have a three-player video game that we will crank up called Might and Magic. It's a lot of fun.
So good.
But ultimately what happens is all three of us sit with our laptops in front of us, and everyone takes their turn, and
it's
everyone,
like a real slow turn game.
It is a turn can take
it. Sort of like Risk or something.
A turn can take up to 10 minutes.
Sure.
So while one person is taking their turn, everyone else is quietly working on
some easy task.
Easy tasks.
Well, doing my LinkedIn.
We actually have a whiteboard, and we will put MM next to tasks that might be good tasks to work on while we're playing Might and Magic. And that's a great way to create a downtime. We're all still getting things done, but we're also recognizing that we're all exhausted, trying to do something that recharges us a little bit that we enjoy. So it doesn't have to be quite that much fun,
mm-hmm.
but if we have tasks where we are all doing something, we all have to read some material, we all have to do something that's quiet, that's downtime, and we make a space to do that together, that can be a good way to give the whole team kind of a sense of restfulness mm-hmm. and relaxation.
And you could also take your laptop to a park or mm-hmm. or somewhere off-site, put
Absolutely.
Some headphones on, and just kind of enjoy being away, and you're still doing work, you're still being productive, but you're actually charging back up so that you can come back in and hit your work hard again rather than just dragging yourself through the day.
Absolutely.
Work Hardigan is actually my new brand of cardigans built for construction workers. You can wear them on the job site.
Work hard.
Work Hardigans.
Work Hardigans, because you work hard.
Your cardigan shouldn't have to.
I'm sorry. Does that sound like a jetpack-themed cardigan?
Ooh. Work Hardigans?
Work Hardigans.
Nice.
Watch for it.
Watch
Not
for,
look
it?
For it?
Not look for
look
it.
Look for it?
Look for it?
I've been looking for it all day, Jason.
No, it's watch for it.
It's watch for it. The next step of helping your team with burnout, the next piece, is make sure that you're setting an example.
As a company leader, you need to make sure that you're demonstrating and you're practicing what you're preaching.
If people see you and you are burning yourself out, you are never taking downtime at work, never taking a break, never taking a few minutes to stop at the water cooler and talk to people,
never laughing at a dumb joke,
mm-hmm, then they are going to feel like that's what's expected of them. Also, don't send email to your team members late at night or on the weekends. You can use Outlook and delay send if you actually need to be writing at that point in time.
And all of them can drop in the inbox nicely at 6 or 7 in the morning,
yep,
whatever time your workday starts, and you don't look like a crazy person.
Well, and what's more, they don't, again, if your team sees you emailing them mm-hmm. at 8 o'clock at night,
yep,
then they are going to feel the need to respond to that at 8 o'clock at night. Again, even if they're not afraid of you, even if they don't think you're going to get angry at them,
mm-hmm,
just because they want to do what you're modeling.
When it normalizes the behavior.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think we had a client a while back that had a lot of trouble with this, where the owner of the company was constantly messaging people late at night and then getting upset when they didn't respond right away. And that was one of the first things we addressed there, was having that conversation that maybe that was something to step back a little.
And salary doesn't mean slave labor.
Mm-hmm.
It means that you get paid to do a job. So it's important that you set those boundaries at the company level.
Yep, absolutely. So spend time with the team focusing on why we're working so hard. What is this change going to do for them specifically? Help them understand why this matters, because it can be easy to get lost in the grind, and especially depending on where you are in the team, your visibility might not be so great of all the good things that are coming. So it's important that we make sure we focus on what those objectives are, what those outcomes are going to be, and why it's going to be better.
Mm-hmm. And along the way, as we're keeping our eyes up and watching for the why and making sure that the team understands the why, then we're celebrating the small victories as we go along.
Absolutely.
Making sure that we have reason to celebrate and everybody's aware of the changes that are happening.
And make sure we point those out to everyone when mm-hmm. they happen, because again, it can be easy for you as the leader to have a lot of visibility of all the good things happening, and for people at different levels on the team to not be able to see mm-hmm. that things are actually changing and happening. Also though,
so everything's gonna go perfect then?
Always.
Always be going perfect. That's our saying here.
Yeah, I've never had a self-doubt in my life.
Right? Or made a mistake.
Or we could expect small setbacks. Mm. Because that's going to happen. Because we're not going to move forward every step of the way, all the time.
We also need to be aware that friction will happen.
Mm-hmm.
That as we're going through these changes, it's easy to experience that friction and turn those feelings into something that it's not.
Mm-hmm.
Where we were at a meeting this morning, kind of rolling out some big changes for a company, and pointed out the idea that when we're going through changes together, it's easy to feel tension, it's easy to feel friction,
mm-hmm.
and we'll oftentimes just fill in the blank and think that the reason why I feel this way is because the other person is doing this to me.
Absolutely.
So when we start off by assuming good intent, usually having some sort of charter is helpful,
mm-hmm.
But we make sure that we assume good intent and we give the benefit of the doubt to the other person that we're working with, and try to seek to understand what's happening in that change better before we point the finger and make accusations.
Absolutely. So the next piece is be a source of optimism. The message that you relay should be, more than anything, we are in this together,
mm-hmm.
and we can do this. It's okay for you to display that you are exhausted, that you are tired, that it's a lot of work and it's heavy for you. But it's important that you keep an optimistic state of mind about the changes and the work that you're doing, because if you let yourself get pulled under, then why on earth would your team be optimistic?
Yeah. So if the general in an army is complaining about how this war is never going to be over and it's not ever going to get better and we're probably going to lose anyway, morale is going to be terrible. So making sure that you're aware of where morale is and paying attention to how you can boost morale is the job of the general, is the job of the team lead, to make
Absolutely.
Sure that they're leading that charge. And there are many times small ways that we can do that. We've already talked about a handful of those here.
Mm-hmm.
But it's important that you take those small steps to make sure that everybody is pumped and excited and looking forward to the next change, even if it hurts.
Absolutely. And the last one that we have on our list is helping the team know what to expect. So in the same way we have that conversation, this is what it feels like to be 13, for them to understand that these things are coming, to make it clear to them. So I'm doing the Whole 30 diet right now. And one of the things that I find really useful in that book is there's a chapter that talks day to day about what people generally experience. So it says, days 1 to 2, this is how you'll feel. Days 3 and 4 are the days when you'll start to feel headaches and you'll start to feel body aches as a result of the changes that are happening in your body. Days 5 and 6 are days when you're gonna feel really tired because your energy levels are changing, because your metabolism is changing. So in the same way that initially it almost feels like magic that the book tells you these things and then they actually happen. In the same way, when we're working through changes with businesses, it is possible to be able to predict what things are gonna happen, when fallout is gonna happen, when things are gonna get tense, especially if you're working with someone like Arcade, who mm-hmm. does this all the time, to be able to have some idea of what's coming, what's down the road, when is it gonna happen? And the more that you can communicate those things to the team and they can know it's coming, then when it happens, it's easier for them to take in stride.
So we operate this way in almost every aspect of our life, where we'll see a tough challenge coming down the road and we'll say, and whether it's parenting or management or consulting, we'll say, when this thing happens, how do we react? What is mm-hmm. the plan for when we get there and we face this difficulty? What are we going to do? What two things are we going to do? What is the plan of attack? What do we have on deck? So that when we hit that roadblock, we can immediately respond to it and not get upset when that happens. And just load the canned response and roll right through that change, because we've already done the majority of the work before we got there. Mm-hmm. So it's important that you take the effort and energy prior to going through those changes to try to identify where you think those pinch points are going to be and try to ready some actions to address those before you get there.
And we share that information with the leaders of the companies we work with. So we will come to the owner of the company, to the leader of the company, and say, okay, here's a thing we see on the horizon. We think this might happen. We think we might start seeing conflict between these two departments, and here's what we should do if that happens. Or we think that this person is really struggling with the realities of their new role, and here's what we think might happen, and here's how we can support them. So by looking and watching that horizon and seeing those things coming, it can help us. So we need to share that with the team carefully. We don't want to say to our team, well, we think these two departments are about to hate each other, right? We don't want to put it out there in a way that either makes a thing happen, like self-fulfilling prophecy, or that makes them feel bad. But at the same time, something we will say a lot to teams is, be prepared. This is going to feel like conflict. This is going to feel like friction. And the more that we can see what's coming and communicate that, the better it will help the whole team be ready to take this in stride.
And when leadership is buried in the bowels of the ship and they're focused on the immediate task in front of them and they're not looking at the horizon, mm-hmm. they won't be able to see those conflicts coming down the pike. So we need to make sure that the leadership is in the right place, they have the right distance, they've taken care of themselves so that they can predict and they can watch for those waves out in the distance to make sure that we're prepared for it before we hit it.
Yep, absolutely.
One thing I think is kind of crazy when people are talking about leaders, like, oh man, they're never doing work, they're never doing this thing. Their job is to lead. Mm-hmm. So if they don't have their head in the books or in the computer mm-hmm. 40 hours a day, that's probably for the best for everyone. If they have the opportunity to get up top and actually look and see if those waves are about to hit, see what's on the horizon, if they mm-hmm. don't do that,
who is?
No one will.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And spending the time to communicate that to everyone else. Mm-hmm. So when you just see them and they're just talking to people all day and it seems like they're just having a nice time, the truth is they're paying attention to how everyone's doing, what's going on, letting people know what's coming. It's all important work.
So we have a client who he's basically carrying four job descriptions. Mm-hmm. And in that model, he is unable to get the distance that he needs to be able to look at the horizon. And that is the help that we're trying to bring, to be able to provide that space mm-hmm. so that someone can start directing where the ship needs to go.
Well, and I think it's already starting to happen.
Absolutely.
And that's one of the best parts of our job is when we get to see that happen.
Yeah. Super awesome. So good.
Big smiles. Oh.
All right. So what do we got left?
I think that covers it, unless you have anything to add.
I feel like we did pretty good. What do you think, Dakota?
Feel like we understand burnout.
So good.
Yeah, we absolutely understand
burnout. We know burnout.
For sure.
Yeah, get ready. We're doing it again.
Let me grab my bleach.
What do we call it when we're burned out? We say we're in the drink.
In the drink.
We're in the drink.
That means you just were thrown into the ocean, and it's the deep, deep water where, Lovecraft creatures live mm-hmm. down below.
Mm-hmm.
And you have no idea what's there, and you're just paddling as hard as you can.
Well, usually when you're in the drink, it means the water is over your head mm-hmm. like 50% of the time. Mm-hmm. You're just kind of coming up and breathing when you can.
Yeah. So the jetpack for today was?
Work hard again.
Work hard again.
Work hard again. Watch for it. I'm sure we're going to have some awesome image of work hard again. So good.
For all our Jarretts and Jarrettes out there.
All the Jarretts and Jarrettes.
It's my favorite part about podcasting is seeing the picture that comes out of it.
It's true.
All right.
It is actually really appreciated, and we'd love to hear from any listeners that we have.
Yeah.
It's really nice.
Don't be dissuaded.
Mm-hmm. It's really nice to feel like, it's easy when you first start podcasting to feel like you were just kind of talking into the void. And it's really nice to know that people are paying attention, people want to hear what we have to say, and people are listening. So,
is this the episode about how to listen to podcasts?
This is, yes. Does that make you feel better?
I was checking in to see.
Yeah, it's totally that episode.
Okay, good. I'm in the right place.
Do we have an episode that helps you learn how to do podcasts.
We do not.
Ooh, I still don't know how to do them.
Yeah, I've been meaning to actually write like a blog write-up about how to make podcasts, but I haven't done it yet.
Could you record a podcast on how to read blogs?
I mean, you could, but it'd be a really short podcast.
Could we convert that into an image file?
It would be a really short podcast because you'd basically be like, click on the blog. Read the blog.
Okay.
Now you're done.
Good times.
You can find us at www.thecriticalpathwithmaryandjason.com. You can find us on LinkedIn at Mary Sturgeon, Jason Sturgeon, Dakota Gates.
I just put my account on Spinster.
It's not a thing, Jason.
Is that the one where you ride bikes all the time, or is it the one where you're a young woman from like 26 to 28 in the 1930s?
No, it's a spider one. It's social media for spiders.
Don't confuse it with Flosser.
No, it's
just Flosser where you stand around and you do the floss all day?
We already talked about that.
We did. And technically, you're not supposed to be on Spinster because technically you're not a spider. Revealed.
What you don't know.
Revealed.
Next episode, what you don't know won't hurt you.
Much.
You can find us on Twitter at Arcade Wayfinder. And on any podcast apps that pull from the iTunes directory, rate us and review us so other people can find us. Stay tuned for outtakes. There's actually a story behind that maybe we'll have in the outtakes or something.
You know, I wonder if Jarrett went back and listened to it again just to verify, or if when he read it, he just knew.
I think when you said watch for it, he was like, oh, that is what he says. Mm-hmm.
He trusted, but then maybe he still had to verify.
That's what I'm getting at. I mean, if I'm him, I'm going to verify. I'm not going
to
trust.
I'm going to listen to that Arcade Wayfinding podcast again.
Yeah.
The Critical Path with Mary and Jason and sometimes Dakota.
I have it on tape.
It's kind of always Dakota now.
I have it on cassette.
It's not on cassette. No one has this podcast on cassette. Oh. In order for that to happen, they would have to play it back through a speaker, hit record on an old cassette deck.
I'm sure there's a better way to do that. Just a line in or something.
Well, I don't know that there is line in for cassette.
They do that so they can listen to it on their Walkman.
Yeah. Your Sony Walkman.
So when they released the next model and you could put a CD in it, what was it called?
Discman.
It was a Discman. Dakota and I had this conversation. He was like, wasn't it just a Walkman?
No.
And I was like, no, it was a Discman. And I had the first model and you could do literally nothing with that thing. If you walked down the street, all it did was skip the whole time.
You like lean wrong or look at something wrong.
I can remember laying on my bed with it next to me on the bed because that was literally the only way you could get that thing to play.
But you know, the more expensive ones, they actually did pretty good.
Well, I think it was later too.
Like it was a little bit later, but like if you had the high dollar ones, then it actually did okay. But
I mean, mine was a Sony Discman. It was not an off-brand.
But I think there was more than
one. But it was like the first Sony Discman, and my grandma got it for me.
You richer.
Was not.
Had a Discman, the first one. Are you kidding?
MC Cool Cat says.
It's MC Cool Cat. MC Pee Pants?
No, you know what I'm talking about, the Paula Abdul video?
Oh, from Straight Up?
No, it wasn't Straight Up. It was Opposites Attract.
Opposites Attract, yeah.
Two steps forward, three steps back.
If you're wondering, Dakota also doesn't know this reference.
We'll make sure and show you after the podcast.
It's Paula Abdul?
Paula Abdul, but Paula he's Abdul? Like MC. He's like MC Katz, McCool.
He's a cartoon
Cole
dancing
McCat.
With Paula Abdul.
Jason Abdul. Was jealous of that cat.
I wasn't jealous, but I got it.
Jason,
she was my crush. Holy cow!
Yeah, like a serious thing for Paula Abdul.
Are you kidding?
Did you lose it when she got drunk consistently on American Idol?
Nope.
No, I think he admires that.
Nope, I still like her.
Honestly, I think if he was on American Idol every week, he would probably have to consistently get drunk to get through that.
Oh, could you imagine that?
What's the money you'd have to get paid to not get drunk while judging American Idol?
Does that money exist?
Is that like per night or?
Yes.
Per episode.
How,
well, an
how long
is
the taping?
Usually multiple nights.
Is it?
So it's like two nights a week.
I don't know. Get back to me on that.
The point is, we take steps forward, we take steps back.
That was how we got here. So
we come together because opposites attract.
No, Mary. So